Welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of last Sunday's worship service. I'm Russell Cobb, the pastor of United Church of Christ of California and the Salem United Church of Christ. Salem's worship is at 8:30, California Sunday School is at 9:30, and their worship is at 10:30. Please join us in person or you can catch us online at our website. We wrap up our sermon series this morning, Obeying God's Vision, that has been looking at the book of Daniel. We'll take a look at all the visions and prophecies that happen in chapters 7 through 11. Many have tried to explain these prophecies. Maybe they represent the kingdoms of Egypt, Persia, Greece, and Rome. Maybe they are about Islam and Christianity and Catholicism, or maybe even Russia. Daniel wondered as well. He asked in Daniel 12:8, "My Lord, what will the outcome of all this be?" That's our question as well. With all the trouble in the Middle East right now, we wonder if Daniel's prophecies are starting to be fulfilled. How did the angels answer Daniel? "As for you," he says, "go your way till the end. You will rest, and then as the end of days, you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance." That is my encouragement to you. It's the same as Jesus' advice. Serve others, love them, love God. Be prepared, but don't worry. God is in control, and He will reward your faith. May God bless and keep you this week. May you feel His peace and presence in your life, and thank you for listening.
Special music is by two of our young members, Ada Milligan and Brenna Hall.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. To you when temptations come my way, when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. You're my one defense, my righteousness.
Philip Berger reads our morning scriptures, followed by Pastor Cobb's sermon, Obeying God's Vision, The Sinner's Prayer.
Scripture lesson, the first lesson is Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 4 through 14. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down, plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters, find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed from Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. And the second lesson is from James chapter 5, verses 13 through 18. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up, and they will have sinned. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on that land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops.
Thank you, ladies, again, and thank you, Philip, for reading our scripture this morning. We are going to be in Daniel chapter 9. We're going to be talking about prayer, and we're going to be looking at the life of Daniel, and I think it's very pertinent with things going on in our world today. Daniel is a book that I bet you is getting a lot of reading right now with things that are going on in the Middle East, and prayer seems like such a simple thing. Last night, we had one of those situations where you start to have a little, little terror kind of go through your head a little bit. We'd come inside from playing outside with the kiddos, and, we were warm a little bit, and so we'd been messing around getting the kids ready for a bath time, and I was getting ready to practice my sermon and go downstairs, and I happened to notice, I said, boy, it's a little warm in here. I said, I think I need to crank it down a notch. We kind of keep it turned up in our house a little bit to save, and I went over there on my digital screen of my thermostat, nothing. No numbers at all, Dan. I almost called you immediately from my phone. So panic sets in my head of like, okay, you worry about this day, hot day. You worry for your air conditioner to go kaput, and you're kind of frantic, doing the little checklist in your head and trying to figure things out. Went downstairs, checked the breaker. No, that wasn't it. Came back upstairs looking at it, kind of turned it off, turned it on, seeing it would reset itself. No, that didn't do it either. And then I decided to try to get the cover off. And man, the cover just wouldn't come. I couldn't find a way to get it off. Finally, I pulled the baby off, and one of the switches, that plastic, they fell off. I didn't break it. It just came out. And so I look up there, 2 AAA batteries. I'm crossing my fingers, baby. I'm saying, I got 2 AAA batteries. I will go to Dollar General in the middle of the night to get 2 AAA batteries for my air conditioner. So I run in there, grab those things, pull those 2 AAAs out, put in the 2 new ones, numbers pop up on the digital screen. I did not need to call my AC guy, my HVAC guy to come out. that would have been a fun conversation to have. That's just too bad. He's sorry, but here's $150. So for that. So I think Betty was impressed with me last night, my technical skills with the AC. Just a simple thing. Two AAA batteries had let the temperature in the house to get up into the mid-70s. Just two little AAA batteries. Well, as we finish up our chapters of Daniel, we'll be in chapter 12 tomorrow. In the midst of this, we're in chapter 9 this morning. It splits up chapters 7 and 8 and 10 and 11, the visions that Daniel starts to have about the future. The first six chapters are biographical about him and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, those great stories that we talked about. Now chapters 7 through 12, we get into interesting stuff. Daniel starts having visions about the near future, but he has visions about the very end of times. I encourage you, read chapters 7 and 8, 10 and 11 and 12. You're going to think you're reading the book of Revelation. It sounds a lot like it. And books have been written that would fill this room on trying to understand the book of Daniel and end times. What I think is interesting, that as Daniel is going through this time, the people of Israel have been in exile 68 years. That's a critical number. They've been in exile 68 years from Jerusalem. They are in Babylon now. Daniel is reading his Bible of what he has. He's reading the book of Jeremiah. And in the book of Jeremiah, we just read it. Philip just read it for us right there. Those two verses, I've heard people recite those verses. I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, plans to take care of you. Man, we promote those, we remember those. Those verses were written to people that were facing 70 years of exile. God was giving them a promise that sending you off to another country, you'll never see your home again, but go there and be happy. Set down roots, plant your gardens, grow your families. But in 70 years, I'm going to bring back the people of Israel. So I know the plans I have, the plans to prosper you. In that time, Daniel's reading that. And so then in the midst of all of this, what does Daniel do? In the midst of what we're seeing on our TV screens for the last 2 weeks, and especially last night, it's kind of a time to be worried, especially you think about end times and you're into the Daniel and all the stuff like that. What's going on gets your attention. But what did Daniel do in the midst of those times? He read his Bible and he prayed. And so that's what we're going to do today. We're going to read our Bibles and we're going to pray, and we're going to see the type of prayer that Daniel had and what can we learn to prepare ourselves to have the same type of prayer life that Daniel had in the midst of times that Daniel was facing, just like we are today. So we'll read the first four verses of Daniel. It says, "In the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, a Mede by descent, who made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom." The Babylonians are out of power now. The Persians and Medes have taken over. "In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting and in sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, 'Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments.'" When Daniel was facing times like this, when he was facing possibly the return back to Jerusalem, this great promise to be fulfilled, and a change of leadership, a new leader, a new country was in charge, Daniel went to pray. And he prepared himself to pray. He didn't wait till the last moment. He just didn't kind of do it, flippantly. He prepared himself to pray by worshiping the Lord. We see in verse 4, he starts off, "You're a great and awesome God." Verse 7, "Lord, you are righteous." Then we skip to verse 9, "The Lord our God is merciful and forgiving." Verse 15, "Now, Lord our God, who brought your people out of Egypt with a mighty hand and who made for yourself a name that endures to this day." And then finally, verse 18, "We do not make request of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy." We see there that David got himself prepared for prayer by worshiping the Lord and giving him praise and glory. We also see that he humbled himself. He got himself physically prepared to walk into a prayer time. He didn't wear his best. He didn't put on a suit and tie and put on the best shoes that he had. No, he came with sackcloth and ashes. He brought himself in humility. We see this works with God. In Jonah chapter 3, when Jonah had delivered the prophecy to Nineveh that God's going to destroy you, what did the king of Nineveh do? He put on sackcloth and ashes and told the whole country, sackcloth and ashes, even your animals, put them in sackcloth. We're going to humble ourselves before God. God deals with us when we're humble before Him. When we get the hierarchy straight, that God is in control and we are the sheep of His pasture. We started out with our Lord's Prayer. We'll be praying that here in just a few minutes. How do we start out? Hallowed be thy name. That's worship. That's praising God. That's putting God in the top position above us. I love Psalm 93. And I think it's a great psalm for us to read as we prepare ourselves to worship as well as for prayer. The writer says, the Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and armed with strength. Indeed, the world it established firm and secure. Your throne was established long ago, and you are from all eternity. Mightier than the thunder of the great waters, mightier than the breakers of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. Your statutes, Lord, stand firm. Holiness adorns your house for endless days. Hallowed be thy name. Daniel prepared himself for prayer by worshiping God and praising him and thanking him. When we prepare ourselves for worship and prayer, we bring ourselves into the presence of God in the minds, in our mindset that brings us into his and align with him. We see that when Jesus went to pray, what did he do? He went off by himself. Elijah, when he needed to hear God's message and reassurance, he was by himself on the mountain when God whispered to him and then finally spoke to him. We don't treat prayer as our emergency number, just something we do all of a sudden because it's our last thing. It should be the first thing. And we see in the life of Daniel that he prayed 3 times a day. This was his regular routine, that he prepared himself, and boy, was he ready now. Because he was reminding God of his promise. God, this is year 68. You said year 70, you're going to take the people of Israel back. I'm just reminding you of that. And that leads us to the heart of this whole prayer. And it should lead us to the hearts of our prayers, that we should not be afraid to confess ourselves to God. Pick up in verse 5 what Daniel does. And it's the whole part of the whole passage of chapter 9. He says, we have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, and our ancestors, and to all the people. And I think it's interesting that Daniel used we. When we read about Daniel, the first 6 chapters said they could find nothing wrong with him. But Daniel understood his position. I'm human. I fall short. There's things in my life that they may not have seen when looking at me, but I know and God knows. Verse 7, Lord, you are righteous, but this day we are covered with shame. The people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, both near and far, and all the countries where you have scattered us because of our unfaithfulness to you. We and our kings, our princes, and our ancestors are covered with shame, Lord, because we have sinned against you. The Lord God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the Lord our God or kept the laws he gave us through his servants, the prophets. All Israel has transgressed your law and turned away, refusing to obey you. Therefore, the curses and sworn judgments written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against you. You have fulfilled the word spoken against us and against our rulers by bringing us on us great disaster. Under the whole heaven, nothing has ever been done like what has been done to Jerusalem. Just as it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come on us, yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from our sins and giving attention to your truth. The Lord did not hesitate to bring the disaster on us, for the Lord our God is righteous in everything he does, yet we have not obeyed him. I titled this sermon, The Sinner's Prayer. That might, if you're in a non-denominational setting or Baptist setting, you've heard maybe that title of a prayer that is given to people to say when they want to become a Christian or they want to turn their lives over to God. It goes much like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe that you died for my sins and that you rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and ask you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior in your name. Amen. There's lots of other versions of it, but they use that to give to people to help them find their path and avenue to God. Some people would criticize that prayer and say, well, that prayer is not in the Bible. Well, I'd say we got lots of sinners' prayers in the Bible. We got Daniel chapter 9. That's a sinner praying. I look at the prodigal son. What was his prayer? It was really just one line. I have sinned against heaven and I have sinned against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. That's a sinner's prayer. What about the publican that was standing, the tax collector? The righteous guy was standing up there. The righteous religious guy was standing up. Thank goodness I'm not that guy. And what was the tax collector? And he head down and he said what? Oh God, have mercy on me, for I'm a sinner. That's a sinner's prayer. We see David in Psalm 32 and Psalm 51. I'd say those are sinner prayers. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me, my strength sapped as in the heat of the summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. God does require a sinner's prayer, our sinner's prayer. Oh God, I've fallen short. I need your help. I need you to restore me. I need to be back in a relationship with you. That's what Daniel was saying here. He was praying for himself and praying for his nation. Confession is only agreeing with what already God knows. He knows you've fallen short. He knows the sins of your dark closet that you've kept from everybody else. The ones that you don't want to let, the ones that you don't want to admit, the ones that keep you from being that close to God. God just says, bring it to me, and I will restore you. James says it this way, confess your sins to each other, and you will be healed. We need to find that time to show that repentance, that confession to God. And after you've done that, if you need support, find a trusted friend, a trusted counselor, a trusted pastor to say, I need assistance. I need someone else to pray with me. The heart of Daniel's prayer was confession. He owned it. He was real. He said, this is who we are. And he put it all out there before God. Paul says it's this. He gives it this title. He gives it the title of godly sorrow. Godly sorrow, he says, brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death. Too many times we're just sorry we got caught. Too many times we're just sorry we failed again. We're not sorry that we've broken our relationship with God. And we're too proud to go before him and ask for his forgiveness and ask for him to restore us and make us clean again. I love how Daniel used we. He didn't blame others. He didn't rationalize it. Say, well, you know, everybody does it. What's the big deal? Everybody does it. We see that confession and forgiveness is at the heart that brings us into the presence of God. We will pray that here in a few minutes too, won't we? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We may say it in recitation, just something rolls off our tongue, but it is the heart of the Lord's Prayer, and it's the heart of Daniel's prayer, which leads us in the last part. He comes, though, with a petition. He doesn't just come with confession and worship. He says, God, these are the things that I want you to do. These are the things I want you to remember, verses 15 through 19. He says, now, Lord, our God, who brought your people out of Egypt with a mighty hand, who made for yourself a name that endures to this day, we have sinned. We have done wrong. Lord, in keeping with all your righteousness, turn away your anger and your wrath from Jerusalem, your city, your holy hill. Our sins and the iniquities of our ancestors have made Jerusalem and your people an object of scorn to all those around. Now, our God, hear the prayers and petitions of your servant. For your sake, Lord, look with favor on your desolate sanctuary. Give ear, our God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We do not make request of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. And listen to verse 19. He asked for four things. Lord, listen. Lord, forgive. Lord, hear and act. For your sake, my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name. He relied upon a gracious, a righteous, a merciful God, and he reminded God of that. He said, hear our prayer, and here's the things that I'm listing. Forgive our sin. Restore us back to the town that was once the apple of your eye. We go to that list too, don't we? God, restore me. Restore my relationship with my family. Restore my relationship with you. Restore my relationship with people that I'm close to. Help me have the strength to do the things that you want me to do. Forgive me for the things of my past and use me for your future. Daniel went in with a list. He just wasn't going to say, woe is me. He is asking God to act upon him. And for the people to say that prayer doesn't make any difference at all, or it just makes a little difference, look at verses 21 to 23. I beg to differ. While I was still in prayer, Gabriel, we mentioned that last week, that one of the three angels that has a name, the man I had seen in the earlier vision came to me in a swift flight about the time of the evening sacrifice. He instructed me and said to me, Daniel, I have now come to give you insight and understanding. But catch verse 23. As soon as you began to pray, a word went out, which I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. Therefore, consider the word and understand the vision. Did you get that? Daniel came into the presence of God in worship, in preparation, in sackcloth and ashes. And as soon as he started to pray, what did Gabriel say? The word went out in heaven. The word went out to the angels. Gabriel, get down there and you encourage, you tell Daniel the meaning of his vision. Romans 8:26, Paul writes that when we don't know what to pray, the Holy Spirit helps us to pray what we need to pray. And then catch this image in Revelation chapter 5:8. It says, when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp. That's where we get the thing about harps playing in heaven. And they were holding golden bowls full of incense. That's perfume. That's the sweet, smelly stuff. Which are the prayers of God's people. You don't think prayer makes a difference in heaven? You don't think if you adequately prepare yourself and bring yourself in the presence of God that God doesn't hear your prayer? Did he answer Daniel's prayer the way that he wanted? We'll find that out in chapter 12. He gave Daniel some understanding, but we'll see in chapter 12, he just tells him to be good with that and live his life. Sometimes God does not answer our prayer the way that he wants us. Sometimes we don't know what the future is going to hold. Corrie Ten Boom said this, Nazi prison camp survivor, watched her whole family die at the hands of the Nazis. She says, never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. The question is, do you know God? Have you gone into his presence and left before him everything and said, here it is, just like Daniel, I'm laying it all out there. Please hear me. Please forgive me. Please act upon me. He tells us how we should pray, what we should pray for, to pray consistently and humbly, to pray for his will be done. Matthew chapter 6:10, we'll pray that here in a few moments. Pray for our lost and the family, just as Daniel prayed for 70 years for Jerusalem to be restored and the people go back. We pray for family members that we don't think will ever make a decision. I've seen family members make decisions after years of prayer. So don't give up. God hears our prayers. Bible also tells us to pray for our leaders. Not just our church leaders, but our political leaders. And each time there's a change in the political dynamic, Facebook is flooded with hateful comments about the one that's in power. That's not biblical. Paul served under an empire, an emperor, and he told the people to pray for the leaders. We need to be praying for all of our leaders right now, both sides of the aisle. He also tells us to pray for his return, but then to know him, to come to him, confession of our sin, confession as Jesus as Lord, repentance that is shown. We can wash away our sins, that forgiveness that comes. Paul wrote, he says, arise and wash away your sins, and you will be made brand new. So what can we learn from this prayer of Daniel in the midst of chaos? We can come to God with thanksgiving, knowing that He's in control, no matter what other world leaders think. We bear our soul to Him. We make our request of Him to hear us and forgive us. And then we can know with confidence that the angels in heaven hear our prayers.